You are listening to GeekaBoss Presents Read, Watch, Play. We discuss all things pop culture, including comics, video games, TV, film, and anime.
Hey guys, welcome to GeekaBoss Presents Read, Watch, Play, episode number 7. We've recorded this quickly after a few days after episode 6. It's Thursday. Me and Stu decided to go.
Hello.
To go check out Fantastic Four, despite all the
glowing reviews online
from everyone.
Apparently, it's the must-miss movie of the summer.
So. Yes. So me and Stu are sitting outside of the Dendy Cinema, waiting to order coffee. So you might hear us recording our orders.
We've jumped out of Christoph's Love Den once again.
Sex dungeon.
You didn't end up back in. I ended up back in. I've had to smuggle myself back out.
Did Chris make it this time?
He did. Chris was there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
really?
we had a special guest. So
it's just me. Chris doesn't like me.
Maybe.
That's why.
He's allergic to you. You should listen to the last show because it was fun. We had a special guest.
Yeah, so, you had Paul Kijiji.
Yeah, we did. So we were talking his latest book, but that's all well behind us because we've got to tackle this thing known as Fantastic Four.
Yes, ah, thing, but
thank you.
Ah, that was a fantastic pun.
Thank you. And I'm going to say, because right off the bat, because this film is pretty bad, and we're going to be telling everyone, I'll be telling everyone not to watch it, but
yeah.
This is going to be basically a full spoiler review.
Yeah, look, I figure
vitriol online already.
Yeah.
I need to talk this thing out. I need to get it out of the system.
And we did, as I did mention, we've recorded this on Thursday. We probably won't air it until maybe the Monday or even the Sunday.
Yeah, after the weekend. Give people
give you a few
a sporting chance to
listen to episode 6 as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, where do we start?
So Fantastic Four. Yes, so I guess for anyone who doesn't know about the Fantastic Four, Fantastic Four is Reed Richards,
yep.
Susan Storm, Johnny
yep.
Storm,
yep.
and Benjamin J. Grimm. Now, in the original comic, what they were, Reed was a scientist, Sue was sort of his helper, Johnny Storm was Sue's brother, and Ben was Reed Richards' mate. Now, they went in a spaceship shuttle into space to investigate stuff. They get hit by cosmic rays, and then they crash land on Earth, and they have powers. The Mr. Fantastic can stretch. Johnny Storm can pretty much become the human torch. Susan Storm, Invisible Woman. And Benjamin J. Grimm becomes the Thing, like a rock, pretty much behemoth.
Now, this is
a rock man.
In terms of the film franchise, this is a bit of a... It's a reboot.
Yeah, it's a reboot. So
There was 2005 and 2007. That was Fantastic Four Silver Surfer.
And there was one... There's been... This is the third attempt at making...
Yeah, there was one back in the... late 80s, early...
Yeah, late 80s. That didn't actually... I don't think it actually made it to the cinemas. I think it was...
Straight to VHS back in the day.
Yeah, it got pulled off. Like, it got stopped at sort of, like, almost the last minute because everyone thought it was... And it was pretty shit.
And so this is kicking back off now, directed by Josh Trank, who directed Chronicle a few years ago, which was the sort of found footage superhero movie.
Yeah.
Actually, pretty similar concept to that of Fantastic Four, sort of people stumbling across, like a group of people stumbling across an energy source and then getting certain powers from it. And then
I still haven't had a chance to watch Chronicle, but now that I do know that's the gist of that film, and it kind of like seems like he's done, let's do that for this film.
Yeah, and this is very much an origin story. It starts off with we get introduced to a young Reed Richards who's looks like sort of a child
prodigy
in terms of wanting to make a machine that can teleport things. Was he in the comics? Does it start that young?
In the original comics, it starts out when they're adults. Now, I've talked about the Ultimate line before.
Yeah.
In the Ultimate line of comics, they start They started the Marvel Universe, the various characters, sort of like as if, I mean, the original comic started in the, like, 50s and 60s and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like the Marvel Universe starting now.
Yeah.
Our time, modern time. So they did do the whole... I did notice that this film sort of carries a lot from the alternate line of the Fantastic Four comics, which was very much he's a child prodigy.
Yep.
His best mate is Ben Grimm. And, you know, he gets found and put into the Baxter Building Foundation, where, you know, Susan Storm and Johnny Storm are, and, you know, Franklin Storm is Susan Storm and Johnny Storm's dad. He's like the teacher and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there is also, you know, Victor Von Doom, who's a fellow student as well.
So I was, I mean, and this starts when they're young, and for the first probably two-thirds of this film, I was all on board. I was sort of cringing. The screenplay is interesting. It's sort of like, it's got sort of that, it feels very much like an origin film. Like with,
origin story-wise, I actually really liked it.
It was a bit too much of like, it was very self-aware, like when, you know, when the Franklin Storm was sometimes going to go for the big speech where the character's going, really, are we going to have that speech now?
I mean, it did come across very like, it was a little bit slow in some parts. Like, it was a bit of a slow burn.
It
like
was.
I thought it had some pacing issues.
Now, just to quickly run... So, we ran through the cast just quickly, but I'll just go through who the... it was Miles Teller as Reed Richards.
Yep.
Kate Mara as Sue Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm.
Yep.
Now. And then Jamie Bell as The Thing, or Ben Grimm.
Who played the part of Franklin Storm again?
That's what... Oh, that's what... Just looking at it up now through the wonders of...
So, yeah, there is sort of a big change in this, in that
it was
they've decided, which I actually think is fine, they've made Franklin Storm in the original comics he was white, in this one they've made him a person of colour, and Johnny Storm is his son, biological son, and Susan Storm is adopted, and she's white.
And Doom is played by Toby Keeble, who I really liked.
Yeah,
I really liked their take on it. Like, initially, when Dr. Doom is recruited, they're putting the team together, Dr. Doom's brought on board, and we first meet him, and he's using sort of a Google Glass gone mad. He looks like a sort of a mad little scientist in a dark and gloomy room, and I thought... Oh, no.
And that does very much suit the ultimate line of the comics. Now, he does kind of, like you don't see much in the original comics, you don't see much of Dr. Doom without his helmet face look. Because, underneath all that, his face is melted and burnt and everything. Now,
but I thought when he came into the team, there was
like Victor Von Doom.
But there was a good vibe. There was a good vibe, like there was a bit of banter back and forth, and everything was clipping along. They used this teleporting machine to get into another dimension.
Yeah,
it's from when we get to the other dimension that I felt this movie takes a completely weird turn.
Yeah,
and the effects up to that point, I was watching, going. They've spent a bit of money on this. Like there was sort of, there was all these sort of research facilities and whatnot, and it all looked good. The science was sort of, for as fantastical it is, sort of made a bit of sense, and it looked. I was having fun. I was on board, and then we get to this other dimension, which is, I don't know, Planet Zero or something.
Yeah, they've called it Planet Zero,
and it just became this really crappy CGI. There was bad
lighting on that other planet.
Oh,
like,
it was just bad TV. It was like really bad TV, like late 90s TV.
Yeah, and look, I mean, they come back. So basically what happens, the crew, they build the teleportation device, they get it to work, and then the government steps in and it's like, oh, look, now we're going to, you know, get actual astronauts to go. And, you know, Victor Von Doom gets them all drunk, except Susan Storm, and they recruit Ben Grimm, and they're like, let's go there ourselves.
Yeah.
So they do that. Now, they go and investigate things. Victor Von Doom wants to, you know, investigate further and starts, you know, touching stuff and everything.
and then sort which of you just know he shouldn't.
No,
that's gonna,
no,
that's not going to end well.
Science film is dip your hand into the green pool. Or
it reminded me of Prometheus when they're like, "What do these worms do?"
Yeah, know, look, I'm going to touch the penis monster.
Yeah, let's take our helmet off and look at it and wonder why we get bitten because it's all right. We've never seen it before.
Yes, definitely.
Jump in.
So
all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, all hell breaks loose. They have to rush back to the pod, I guess we'll call it, so they can teleport back to Earth.
And bring a little something back with them.
Yeah, and Dr. Doom ends up getting burnt alive by this green ooze and gets left behind.
Yeah.
And three boys get travelled back, and then all hell breaks loose, and they wake up in Area 52.
Yeah, and then the weird thing, it sort of felt like when we first get shown sort of all the effects that the Fantastic Four have gone through, the first we see is Reed Richards in full stretch mode.
Yeah.
I thought it had an awesome, like, horror film sort of vibe to it.
It really did feel very horror filmish.
It looked...
From that part onwards.
We've never really seen the kind of, like, how freaked out you'd be by being... Like, he's in full stretch... except for a little blanket over his delicate bits.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And then we get to see everyone else. But the problem I found with the sort of that back third of the film, they got lazy in the sort of story department because it just jumped. We were sort of exposed to them that they had all these powers,
and then it jumped.
Reed Richards escapes, and then they go. One year later, they're now all working. They're all now the A-team, and they're special forces that get used around the world.
They're helping out the government because apparently the government is going to help them find a cure.
Exactly. And then eventually we end up back up with a predictable fight with Doom.
Well, they build another pod, and then the pod gets... They find Reed, who has disappeared. They build another pod. The pod gets... with some astronauts, they find Doom on the planet, still alive. Mm. Oh, and you know, they're going to bring him back because, you know, everything's all hunky-dory with Doom.
So the end fight is kind of predictable. It was too quick. But they've got to bind together, as we've seen a thousand times before, to do it.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you. Was this ruined for you because of The Incredibles?
Yeah, okay. So I'm pretty much going to say... There has never been a decent Fantastic Four film.
Except
The Incredibles.
And this film, like everything they could have come up with, I was watching it going, The Incredibles did it smarter than this ever could. But it just looked like this was the most basic version of what we could have got from their powers.
What's the bad guy in The Incredibles? What's his name?
It's not Electro. It's the one that's voiced by Jason Lee.
Yeah, so, okay, his thing... He's got a suit, like a tech suit.
Yeah.
That's literally Dr. Doom in the comics.
Yeah.
He's genius level intellect.
Yeah.
He can control minds a little bit of magic, which, you know, he doesn't use that often. And his suit, which, you know, can blast shit and whatever. It's not that hard to get right.
Yeah.
Every iteration of Dr. Doom on film is shit.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm quite annoyed because.
That's right. Basically.
They're not really coming after us. Calm down.
Not letting our thoughts of. Fantastic Four are a hot topic at the moment.
Yeah. They've never gotten an iteration of Dr. Doom right at all. And that Dr. Doom is one of my favourite villains because he's not that... It's not that hard to put on the screen.
No, it doesn't seem that... Like, because he just this... He's... Because they try to put this, like, spin that he's saying, well, the world's doomed, pun intended, but it's kind of like, well, the world's doomed, so I'm going back to this other planet where I'm going to rule as king...
Yeah, and remake everything in my image.
And Franklin tries to stop him and say, no, stay here. He goes, no, I'm going home. And he kills him just all this, like, force motivation.
And we got to talk about Dr. Doom's power set. So, like, you know, they've strapped him in this gurney, like, because they found him on the other planet. They're like, oh, tell us about your, like, what power did you come back with? And, you know, and then all his eyes light up and everything. And, you know, he's apparently...
He should have said, I've come back with a nondescript thing that lets me do whatever I want.
Oh, yeah, literally he's, like, telekinetic, telepathic.
Yeah.
He can control the elements, apparently. And, like, it literally turned for the next 15 minutes into like the movie Scanners, like literally walked down the hallway and started like looking at people and their heads blowing
up.
And
it was like,
brain. It's so like,
by that stage we're into like our fourth or fifth film.
I was cringing the entire time after that. And like the fight scene where when the Fantastic Four go to the other planet and attack him, it just seems haphazard. Scripted a decent fight scene.
Yeah, it was weird. The writing in this was really odd towards the end. Like, it just... And it's where it started to peter away for me. Because I was on board. But the other problem is now, and as much as we keep saying we have a problem with, like, you know, they're building the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. This is the Fox Marvel Universe.
Yeah, but I was sitting there going, I would love... Again, I'd love these characters, like even these actors, to run into the Avengers.
It'd be great.
To play in the world that's already been established, like I want to see Miles Teller and Robert Downey Jr. go up against each other as this kind of like young scientist, older scientist, all this. And I'm sitting there going, why? Like the whole, imagine the Hulk, the Thing at the moment would be so, I mean, they're so similar a character anyway, and their power, they've got a very similar. Like a power and a very similar style on screen.
Yeah, me and Stu, because we didn't like the movie at all, by the end of it, we wanted to, you know, shove a screwdriver in our heads.
I brought one from home, especially.
Yeah, we didn't stay behind for, you know, if there was. I don't even know if there was an after credit scene. But, since it's Fox, it could technically be in the X-Men universe as well.
I think they were Comic-Con. They were on stage together with X-Men. So
I think they are in the same universe. But throughout the entire film, there was no Easter eggs or anything that I could see mentioning mutants or whatever. Like, the government was talking about, you know... Like, they're talking about power sets, and they haven't said any... They didn't mention or drop hints of a mutant thing at all, which was weird, given they're apparently in the same universe.
And it's all Fox has it, but, like...
Yeah,
Fox
they've got the Fantastic Four and the X-Men. Deadpool's part of the X-Men.
No, but he's now come back to... Fox as well, that's right.
For the first two-thirds, great. Then from, like, literally, like... Literally probably about 10-15 minutes after they get their powers, it's just shit.
Yeah, it's not...
Even the last 10 minutes is really cringeworthy.
Yeah, and it's
bad pun. I love my puns.
Yeah,
but it's so cringeworthy.
Yeah, they just—it's a strange. And
whoever was sitting next to me, two doors, two seats down, he was like,
it had the bare bones to be an interesting film. Like I kind of, but. I
love the actors that they've got playing
the
parts.
Yeah, it's a great lineup. I'm not a big fan of Kate Mara in the role as Sue Storm. I think
she seemed a bit stiff.
She just didn't have much personality. She didn't bring much personality. The only thing we got was that she liked Portishead and she needed to listen to music when she worked. That's the biggest
to sense patterns. Look, I mean, I out of 10, how much?
I don't
six.
Know. Yeah, like see it. Don't rush out for it. I mean,
I think of it as a way to watch it at home on DVD, not on Blu-ray, on DVD.
Yeah, I just don't get like if you can do anything with these franchises, why fall back on a formulaic thing like this? We said this about Ant-Man as well, that there is a formula. There's a Marvel formula.
Yeah.
But now they're just starting to follow almost beat by beat by beat back to the formula. Maybe blockbusters have always had that. Now's the time, because they didn't even really help set up like much of a world for themselves. I mean, they ended like they've now got their research facility.
Mm.
But is Doom's basically their nemesis, isn't he?
He's one of their main nemesis. And like they pretty much, he pretty much dies in this film.
Yeah, well, I mean, the implication was there that he got taken out. How does Johnny Storm fly?
Because I'm assuming he
heat
flies.
Rises?
I'm assuming he burns the oxygen and then allows him to get up. I don't know the mechanics.
But I just would like something for them to explain.
You know what? Have any scientific listeners to the Geek of Oz who wants to explain how Johnny Storm can fly in fire mode, please let us know.
And is that covered in the books? Because like, just don't get
so.
Like, in this, I just sort of went.
That would be cool, technical thingo. Like that would have been cool in the movie. Because, so wait, how can you fly?
But it wouldn't have, they spent enough time like shoving everything else in.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just go look? Because he can do X. Like they were trying to say how everything else was grounded in this sort of hardcore science.
I do admit, like, Reed and Sue were pretty much lead, and yeah. Ben and Johnny were sort of supporting, even though, you know, it's the entire team that should be lead, but they were very much a supporting. Like, you only got a tiny bit of Benjamin J. Grimm's background.
Yeah.
Just not like a whole lot.
Yeah, just the bloke from the junkyard.
Yeah, it works from the junkyard, and his brother used to beat him up.
How good's Miles Teller on screen, though? When he's there, he's the whole thing's just a lot. Like, those first couple of scenes when he's sort of first brought into the team are amazing.
Yeah.
Have you seen Whiplash?
No.
You should check that out. I don't know. It's just so hit and miss. I don't think it's worth the sort of out and out hatred that's
yeah,
on.
Yeah, look, I went in this like,
I don't know.
Reading some of the tweets and like everyone that I've seen online, it's like it wasn't as like sitting in it. I haven't actually look. I don't like to interrupt someone in the movie, but I did lean over to you and I did say like, it's not as bad as everyone's made out.
No.
I mean, yes, the last third is shit.
But I mean, even though we're having this conversation now, we're going through what we do and don't like.
Yeah.
Literally straight after the film. Do you feel there's a bit too much of a culture now of like, from especially for us who are sort of lucky enough to get the odd advanced screening.
First to comment on
Is there too much of this competition now of who's going to get the smartest, snarkiest line out in order to like to get some point system of saying we were the first? Is that
we've been to a few
we've been around. We've seen
we've been to a few screenings, junkets. And, like, you know, it's very much a, like, oh, no, wait, I'm not going to tell you what I think of the film afterwards, because it's very much a, like, I don't want to tell you because I want to keep it all for my first tweet. I want to be the funniest. I want to be the retweeted sort of thing.
Is there any merit in even going for the snark? Because are we, like, how quickly are we consuming these films? Because I know this is effectively... This is like on...
Look, I didn't want to watch this as a review. I wanted to watch this as a Marvel Comics fan.
I put this on par with Thor 2.
Ooh.
You know what?
See, like, I didn't mind Thor 2.
I'm not saying Thor... Like, Thor 2's got its fair share of issues.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Like, a fair share of issues.
Yeah.
Like, that first opening battle scene where it looks like they're all in just cosplay outfits. But this had some genuine, like, we had maybe 15 people in the cinema tonight. I think I was the only person laughing at a couple of, like, the one-liners.
Yeah.
The
bit where Ben and Reed are at the science fair, I laughed.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. Like,
and did you...
Like,
no,
did you bring the car? No, I didn't bring the car. I wasn't meant to bring the car. It was funny.
Did you notice who was the... I know you leaned over and you said that the teacher was a dick. Do you know who that was?
No, who was
that's
it?
That's Dan Castellaneta. That's the voice of Homer Simpson. Yeah. That's like, you know, so he's...
I did like that, you know, the government man...
Tim Blake Nelson.
That he got killed by Doom, which was great.
And he's also... He was in... He was in the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, okay.
The Ed Norton one. He was the other scientist who helped out Ed Norton. So it's another little callback from the...
Wait, is he the one that got stuff dribbled onto
him?
Yeah,
onto his brain.
So he was going to become the leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that didn't end up happening.
That is a little another tie-in, Marvel tie-in.
I
don't know. I'd say...
They had that, him chewing... It was either him chewing tobacco or gum. This government, and he was chewing gum
for Tim Blake Nelson,
or tobacco throughout every single one of his scenes. It was just like, oh, I just want you to die now.
Effects wise, we've said, you know, the other planet was pretty crappy. Well, the thing was done really well.
Yeah,
and I was happy with Sue Storm's was pretty average effects. Human Torch looked good.
Yeah, I actually really like the Human Torch. I actually like their suits that they've got as well.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Sort of they've got these suits that are similar to, just sort of a bit like how those in the first X-Men, they had those all black suits. They're sort of meant to control their powers to a certain extent.
Yeah, literally like his clothes. In the comics, they're made out of unstable molecules, which pretty much means, you know, if he stretches,
it goes with
him. Yeah, sort of thing. If she turns
and
same as
Incredibles.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was hilarious that the Thing didn't wear pants.
Yeah, well.
But, you know. I liked Thing. I don't know. I thought maybe the voice was a bit too.
Not low enough?
It was weird. Like, they could have made him sound like him a bit more. Yeah, it was very much like.
I don't think J.B. Bell was too strong. Like, he. Because obviously he's not. His American accent isn't always the best.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, I thought he had an interesting take to begin with.
It was look. I mean, okay, compare it.
What do you compare it to the other ones? The more recent ones. I don't think I've actually seen either of them.
You know what? I'm going to say I prefer. What's his name? What's Australia's own?
Kyle MacLachlan.
Did he play Doom in the previous
one?
I prefer Kyle MacLachlan. Okay, what's the
who played Doom in this one?
That was Thingo Keeble, Toby Kebbell.
I like Toby Kebbell's
Victor
on Doom.
Yeah.
I prefer Kyle MacLachlan's Doctor Doom.
Yeah, fair enough. Like, it was.
If
you went back and watched them, they're probably all the same.
Same storyline type thing.
Not much.
Oh, look, I mean, it's better than number.
And I just note from.
It's better than the Fantastic Four number 2, but that's only by a tiny bit.
The Silver Surfer.
Yeah, the Silver Surfer one.
And IMD puts them as the next one landing in 2017, so I think.
I think it would do well with a different director. Who wrote this, actually?
I'm not sure. Give me 2 6.
Curious what the writer's actually written.
Simon Kinberg did the screenplay. So, and they've had... Josh Trank, Josh Trank had writing. Simon Kinberg, he's written...
I think he actually writes comics.
He's written his X-Men, Sherlock. He's been... Yeah, involved.
Yeah, look, you know what? I think it was a good story. I just think directorial wise, it wasn't that great.
No, it didn't.
I think it needed a stronger director, which I thought was surprising, given it's the reboot of the franchise. They went for someone that, you know, has only done one film before. But we discussed this prior to the film. A lot of cinema companies doing that.
Yeah,
Mind you, this guy who's directing this, you told me, apparently he's been taken off.
Yeah, he was meant to have one of the Star Wars spin-off films.
But he was taken off,
though. He's walked away from it because of...
his antics on this film.
Well, yeah, and creative differences, allegedly.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's some dramas there. But, saying that, I think, you know, it's 6 out of 10.
Yeah, 6 out of 10.
I'd see something else. Yeah, at the moment, you've got Mission Impossible, you've got Trainwreck, Ant-Man still playing. I'd say they're all better.
Dragon Ball Z starting at the moment, new film.
I'd say catch them before you catch this.
Yeah, and then a film we also
Man
discussed.
Man from Uncle
week. Apparently, it's coming out next week and it hasn't been advertised that much.
Yeah.
You know what? If you don't even know about that, go watch it. It looks fantastic.
Man from Uncle, yeah.
Yeah.
You heard it here, folks.
Yes.
Well, we are calling it from the trailer.
Yes, pretty much. So, all right, that's me and Stu signing off now. Yes, you could reach us on Geek of Oz on Twitter, on Facebook.
Everywhere.
Aqualec on Twitter.
We're going to have to do a spin-off show soon.
Yeah,
you and me
watching movies.
Yeah, just, you know, we could just do this without doing anything, without a show.
Yeah, no, we don't need Christoph and Chris.
No.
We don't even need Ryan.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it to us.
All right, guys. See you later.
Bye.
You've been listening to Geek of Us Presents. Read, watch, play. We discussed all things pop culture, including comics, video games, TV, film, and anime.